Welcome to Where is God's Word with your host, Bruce Musselman, brought to you by the Mattaway Country Baptist Church of Aurora, Ohio. Bruce combines over 40 years of experience as a pastor, Bible teacher, and author. This program addresses topics surrounding the authority and inerrancy of the Bible. Here now with this week's edition of Where is God's Word is Bruce Musselman.
Well, this is the day the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. We have in Cleveland, Ohio, we have a nice day today after having some big rains and sun's out, and the temperature is wonderful, and it's so good to be with you wherever you are in the world. And I'm just looking at a paper here where it shows where some of our listeners are, and I believe it is, what do we say, the Slovak Republic?
Slovak Republic.
One of the newest ones we have here. And I was thinking it might interest you, some of the listeners, and we're going to be praying for you all, and thank God for you. But some of the countries where we have, it looks like a lot of listeners, we have Canada, we have, let's see here, Brazil, we have a lot of listeners there. We have quite a number of France, the next one, Germany, Great Britain, and then Israel. It's one of our, we have more listeners in Israel than most other countries, and I thank God for Israel that they're listening over there. And then we have in other countries, we have a lot of listeners in Russia, and that's good. And we're talking in English, but they're listening to us, and that means a lot of them, I'm sure, are believers. And we thank God for you all, and we appreciate you talking to us and listening to us, and so thank God for you. And then, of course, finally the United States, and we have here, let's see, I'm looking at this. Well, we just about covered it. I mean, this is where we have a lot of listeners in these particular countries, and there's other countries where there's a good number of listeners also, so we're glad to have you with us. This program is to uphold the Bible as God's Word. And we believe that God has preserved it, and we particularly believe that God has preserved the authorized King James Bible as the language that he has given us, his word, perfect word. But also, there's translations made from the received text that has come down to us from Christ and the apostles in other languages that are the word of God, and we thank God for these. And I thank God also for today for Brother Marvin Bassinger. Picks me up every week, and he's Sunday school teacher at the church that I go to, Columbia Road Baptist Church. And Marvin, we're glad that you could be with us.
Good to be here, Brother Bruce.
Yes, and he's saved, and he's an enthusiastic Christian. And then Pastor Al Davis of Richfield Bible Baptist Church. It's real nearby. If you come to the United States, anywhere in the Cleveland area, you might stop in at his church. I'm going to ask him to give the announcements. And then he has a great science report, Science in the Bible. Bible, whatever it talks about, whether it's geography or it's history or science, it's always, it's the Word of God and it's true. So, Brother Al, take it away.
Well, thank you, Bruce, and it's good to be with you. And, of course, I'm Pastor Al Davis, the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. And I certainly invite you to visit us. And if you find out more about us, you can find out more about Bruce. You can find out more about this program by going online to whereisgodsword.com. That's whereisgodsword.com. And a number of people from around the world have been logging onto that website, as Bruce has been mentioning. And so there's some information there about Bruce and about some of the places he's going to be this weekend, starting tomorrow, this past weekend. I have to remember where I'm at. He was at the Prophecy Conference in Lighthouse Baptist Church in Copley, Ohio. I'll get my days straight here. And he appears from time to time if you check out our website at whereisgodsword.com. But he was just speaking there on June 26th through 28th. On Bible prophecy. And just to give you a flavor for the types of things that Bruce has when he's at a prophecy conference like this, he was talking on various things in the ancient world in Bible prophecy. UFOs and aliens and Bible prophecies. Bible says some things that might be surprising. He also talked about Roman Catholicism and the papacy and prophecy, covered a lot more, and usually Bruce covers a lot of material on church history, as well as, just like with the program here, the history of God's Word, which reminds me, we don't mention this enough, you can listen to Bruce preach online at whereisgodsword.com. We have programs that are there that you can download and listen to. There's also links to some previous programs there where Bruce has been teaching on these subjects. And you can also order a Bible and Prophecy series that he has available. It's a 6-CD set dealing with Christ and the Antichrist in prophecy, the Antichrist government in prophecy, Roman Catholic Church in prophecy, Israel in prophecy, the King James Bible in prophecy, Christ and Israel in prophecy. And you can find that, of course, at whereisgodsword.com. Or you can write to Bruce directly at Bruce Musselman, P.O. Box 609238. That's P.O. Box 609238, Cleveland, Ohio, 44109. That's Cleveland, Ohio, 44109, and that's in the USA. If you'd like to get a copy of that 6-CD set, if you'd like to include $30, that would include the set and shipping and handling anywhere in the United States and in Canada. If you're outside the United States and Canada, if you could add $5, make that $35 U.S. dollars to cover the extra shipping and handling going out of the country to other places. But you can again find that at whereisgodsword.com. So I guess with that in mind, Bruce wants me to share a little science from the Bible right now.
And, go ahead.
Okay. Well, I was looking at something a little bit different here, and I was reading an article. And in Genesis chapter number 6, the Bible says, and I'll find myself here, chapter 6 and verse number 14, God has told Noah to make an ark. Actually, let's start reading verse 13. God said unto Noah, "The end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. This is the fashion which thou shalt make it of. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above, and the door of the ark that shalt thou set in the side thereof, with lower, second, and third stories shalt thou make it." Now, that's the basic description of the instructions, and I'm not talking so much about the flood here and the scientific accuracy of the flood, though there is that. What I want to talk about here was the incredible scientific accuracy of the ark itself. This is a tremendous design that God gave, and studies have shown that this design, it's the perfect balance between three factors. Maximum comfort. It's a long vessel, and when the ark was floating on the waters, there was a great wind. The Bible says all the mountains were covered. The earth was covered with water, and you would expect large waves to occur. And a long vessel makes for a much more comfortable ride in terms of riding out those waves. Now, the comfort, though, has a lack of structural integrity, of strength. And in order to do that, there has to be some height to the ark. And it's not too high to maximize the structural strength. And it's not too long to maximize the comfort. It also has to be stable. You don't want it to be turning and rolling around like a ball rolling through the water. That's going to float good and be strong, but it's not going to be very stable and very comfortable. So maximum stability would call for a shorter, wider arc. Maximum comfort would call for a longer, thinner arc. And maximum strength would call for a taller arc. And Noah's Ark represents the perfect balance between the dimensions required for maximum stability, comfort, and strength. It's perfectly balanced for that. They've done studies. There's a major study in 1993 done by the Ship Research Center in Kriso in South Korea. Dr. Sian Hong did this and found that there's no hole shape that they could discover. And this was not a Christian group doing this. This was just a scientific research group. They found that there is no hole shape other than what the dimensions God gave to the ark in Genesis chapter 6 that could significantly outperform God's design. And this has been upheld. It's the balance of the ark would have been lost if it was different. The comfort in the ark would have been lost if it was different. The strength of the ark would have been lost if it was different. All of which was given by God so that it would be carefully balanced, so that it's not going to break open, so that it's going to be comfortable enough that everybody's not going to be sick constantly, and so it's not going to capsize. They confirmed that the ark would be able to easily handle waves as high as 100 feet tall. And it's amazing that here, this direction of the ark, and we don't know the exact size in measurements today, 300 cubits wide or long, probably somewhere between 450, 510 feet long, and 50 cubits wide, somewhere between 75, 85 feet wide, and 30 cubits high, somewhere between 45 and 51 feet tall. And this would have made it one of the largest ships ever built, one of the largest ships, period, certainly the largest wooden ship ever built. And in this mechanical engineer, Tim Lovett, that wrote this article, said that this is probably about the maximum size that you could have a wooden ship built that would still be safe and hold its integrity in those kind of waves. And it wasn't until the Titanic was built that a ship was built that was bigger than the Ark. God gave them the directions. God gave them the perfect directions to balance comfort, stability, and structural strength so that he could preserve Noah, his family, and the animals inside the ark in the midst of the turbulent seas that followed the flood there over the earth. Isn't that amazing? Another example, science in the Bible.
It is amazing. And let's see, you said it would be 450 feet long. And how would that compare to a football field?
Well, I'm not sure what is the length of a football field?
300 feet.
There we go. Longer than a football field.
Wow.
If it was on a football field, it would reach in well past the goal on both sides.
Like one and a half football field.
Yeah, and I point out 450 feet is based on an arc being 18 inches or a cubit being 18 inches long. But some people believe the cubit may have been 20 inches long, possibly almost 20 and a half, like 20.4 inches long. That gives you the length of 510 feet. So it's going to be in that variable range there somewhere.
Marvin, I'm glad you're here. You got that's an interesting statistic. That's the size of a 1.5 football field.
Yeah, 1.5 football field.
That is perfect design.
Yeah, that's. Some people say that how they get all the people and creatures in the ark was two of every kind. So it would be, it's not a massive number of animals or people or so on.
For instance, not two wolves and two coyotes and two dogs and two foxes. It would have been two dog animals, the dog kind, that would have diversified shortly after the ark after the flood into the wolves, the dogs, the foxes. Let's just look at the domestic dogs that we have, everything from a Great Dane down to a tiny miniature dachshund, and they're all dogs.
Yeah, that was an interesting report. And, you know, the people who have denied that, in 1 Peter it says that before Christ comes back, they're going to deny the flood, that the flood has taken place. So there is a denial of it. But if we went into the evidence of it, it's quite massive. Most different types of nationalities in their history have some kind of a legend or some type of a story telling about the flood. And besides, there's many other things. For instance, they found sea life on the top of the mountains.
Right.
And that's an evidence that the water really had gone up that high. And so, again, the fact that even people would deny it today is a fulfillment of prophecy. And we're trying to say, because of what we have this program for, that we can trust in the Bible. There's a lot of things we really can't trust in, but we can trust in God's Word. Well, we want to talk about the book of Psalms, first chapter 19, the 19th Psalm, and it really describes what this program is all about. Some people don't understand why we emphasize this point, and yet this chapter really explains why we have this program. It says here, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork." Now, when we look at this heavens, we see that it almost looks to man through his telescopes that the heavens are infinite. We know they're not, but it just seems like that the more powerful telescopes we see, the farther our universe goes. And it just seems like there's one, you know, different solar systems, and it seems like it's almost infinite. And the reason that God made it that way, he wants us to see his glory and his power. And we see that in the heavens. It says the heavens declare the glory of God. Our God made all of this. And you know, that God that made all of this actually lived with us here on this earth, and his name was the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, in him dwelled all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. We have a God that is so powerful, he can do that. And, you know, sometimes we see his power when we pray. And, you know, if we pray in the will of God, now he doesn't always answer our prayers the way we want, but sometimes he answers them very specifically. And it shows his power. And I was just reading in Psalms where it says that he sees what we're doing. He sees everything we're doing. He knows our thoughts. And so the heavens show how powerful and glorious God is. And we learn about this in nature, but we learn about it also in the Bible. And then the firmament showeth his handiwork. And that's the surroundings. Our surroundings show his handiwork. King David looks at a human body and he says, we are wonderfully and fearfully and wonderfully made. That when we look at it, we see the brilliance of our God, and everything in our body has planning. It has a circulatory system. It has a heart. It has kidneys. It has lungs. All of these different functions in the body, even the skin is an organ. And so we see the intelligence there of God. We see his handiwork. And the Bible in the book of Hebrews uses this idea. It says every house is built by someone. And I look at my house. Well, I don't know who built it. I suppose I could find out. I know it was probably built about 100 years ago, but one thing I know is it didn't create itself. It wasn't made by a monkey or a orangutan or an animal. It shows that there is intelligence there because it has a plumbing system, has electrical system, doors and windows. It just did not happen. It shows design and intelligence. Well, our universe shows design and intelligence, and we see it all over. We see the handiwork of our Creator God. You know, he was on the earth. That's the key point. And I was just thinking, I don't know why this thought came into my mind, but I was thinking about China. We have a lot of listeners in China. And I was thinking about the fact that the Lord has shown his design everywhere, that he is alive, that he is the well, that he has created everything. And so it says here, day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. And it says that speech shows God. God put speech together. He gave us the different languages, and they all are sometimes complicated to learn, but they all have a pattern. They all have a plan. And night unto night showeth knowledge. And so we see that our God is a God of knowledge, and actions are weighed by him. He knows what's going on. He knows everything. Now it says, there is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. And so the knowledge of God is universal, and it's in all the languages of the world. Do you know that in the first century, the Bible says that a number of times that the whole world heard the gospel, and God gave them the gift of tongues back there in the first century. And what was it? Well, when you read about it in the Bible, it's different than what is preached today, because in the Bible, when they spoke in Acts chapter 2, they praised God and they preached, and everybody heard them in their own language. And God gave them that ability, and the Bible was translated very early. We know that one of the beginnings of the English language was the Gothic language, and Euphilus translated that. It might have been even translated earlier into Gothic, as early as possibly 200 or 300. And yet many of those words are still in our King James Bible. They might be changed slightly as far as the structure of the word or the letters of the word. Now it says the word of God has gone out all over the world. Their line has gone out through all the earth and their words to the end of the world. And so God's word, and it's been translated in many different languages. And it says, in them hath he set a tabernacle for the Son, which is as the bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoicing as a strong man to run a race. His goings forth have been from the end of heaven and his circuit unto the ends of it. And it's talking about the sun. There is nothing hid from the heat thereof. And like the sun being all over the earth, yet the words of God are all over the earth. Now here it talks about the word of God in verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Now that's a present tense word. And today people talk about the word in the originals, which they really don't have, but it says is. That's a present tense word. God always teaches that the word of God is present. It's something we have. Thy word have I hid in my heart, and it is perfect. God said the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. And so God's word is perfect. It's not just that it was perfect. Is perfect, and the word of God converts the soul. You don't have to worry when you witness. You're not trying to use some kind of a sales presentation. Just give them the facts. Give them the facts that God took on a human body, that when he died on the cross, he was punished for every sin we ever committed, and that when we ask Jesus Christ, who is God and he is everywhere in the universe, he knows what we're thinking, he knows what we say. Say, Lord Jesus, forgive my sins. I believe you died for me and bodily rose from the dead. I accept you as my God and my Savior. You do that and believe it, and you are a child of God, and you belong to God's family. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. We can depend on it because God said he would preserve his words. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. And we can testify that reading the Bible gives us rejoicing of the heart and the soul. We know where we're going when we die, absent from the body, present the Lord. And we can rejoice in that, and we do rejoice. The commandment of the Lord is pure. The word of God is pure, present tense. Not in the past, but pure today, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true. God's word is true. Jesus taught that God's word is true. Sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is true. It didn't say was true, although it was, but it says is true. It is true today. And we have it in the Authorized King James Bible and translations that come from it. And right all together, that is, it's all right. It's all true. It's all perfect. This is what God says. You believe that or do you not believe it? More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter than honey in the honeycomb. We can buy with gold things that help us in this life, but the word of God is more precious than gold. Tells us how to go to heaven, tells us how to have joy, tells us how to have peace, tells us how to know God and how to have fellowship with our Creator God. It's more precious than gold. And thank God, the Bible says, thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endure forever. And it says we can look at the perfect word of God. Read Psalm 19 and ask and believe what God said. What a precious book we have in the word of God. You have a wonderful day, and thank you for listening. You pray for us, and we'll be praying for you. God bless you.
You have been listening to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. If you enjoyed today's program and would like to receive a free brochure that lists 100 references where the name of Jesus has been omitted from modern versions, we invite you to drop us an email at sos1611@gmail.com. That's sos1611@gmail.com. Where is God's Word is sponsored by the Mantua Country Baptist Church, located at 12385 Chamberlain Road near Aurora, Ohio. Pastor Murray Bay and the congregation cordially invite you to worship with them. Sunday morning services are held at 10 and 11 a.m. For directions or more information, please call 330-562-6600. That's 330-562-6600. Or write to the Mantua Country Baptist Church, 12385 Chamberlain Road, Aurora, Ohio, 44202. Tune in again next week at the same time for another edition of Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman.